What did you say? Oh, say something. It took, how many seconds is that? 34 seconds. I had to wait silently for 34 seconds for somebody to ask me, "What in the world are you doing?" And you know what I was doing? I was waiting on you to say something. But I had to be patient. I had to patiently wait 34 seconds for somebody to ask the question I wanted to be asked. Okay, tonight's lesson is about a man who had to wait patiently to get what he was looking for. But he didn't have to wait 34 seconds. This man had to wait 24 years. Can you imagine having to wait 24? Can you imagine waiting 24 minutes? No. You all could barely wait 24 seconds. 24 years. Abram is his name. God made him a promise in Genesis chapter 12. And in Genesis chapter 12, which Mr. Jamie just read, it says, God speaking to Abram, "I am going to make you a promise." Everybody listen to me. Here's the promise. "I will make you a huge nation of people." So promise number one, a lot of people. "And I will bless you and I will make your name great." A lot of people, a great name, and eventually all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. You will be a blessing, not just to you and your family, but to everybody in the whole entire world. But did it happen just like that? No. He had to wait what? Patiently. Patiently. I need everybody to be patient tonight, and we're going to learn about what he was waiting for. All right, there's a word. I need everybody to keep this word on the forefront of their mind. Covenant. Last month, when we had a kid's sermon on a KFC night, we talked about Noah. And Noah had a covenant with God. And in the story of Noah, we learned about companionship. And that means two people together, and specifically about marriage, about a husband and a wife together. Tonight is covenant, a covenant promise. When I said Noah, I meant Adam and Eve. Thank you, wife. That's why I have all her up front here to help me out with my sermons. I do that oftentimes. You know how Moses had the ark? No, it's not Moses, it's Noah. I do that sometimes. And so, Adam and Eve. You learned about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they had a companionship. Well, tonight is covenant. But did that covenant come quick? He had to wait. What was the word? Patiently. Can you be patient tonight? I need everybody to look at me with two eyeballs. Will you agree to wait patiently and sit and listen? That's to you all too, okay? He had a promise. Now, Abram got the promise, and here's what God said you need to do. You need to go into all these nations. And so it's really cool what the Bible says in Genesis 12 and Genesis 13. The Bible says he went to this city, and it's really neat how it describes that Abram built an altar to the Lord there. But then he went to this city, and then the Bible says Abram built an altar to the Lord there. And then he went to this city, and Abram built an altar to the Lord there. Oh, but then there was a problem. You see, there was no food. And they had to go to where the food was. The Bible talks about the famine that they were facing. And so they had to go to the big country of Egypt. And they stayed in Egypt for a little while. But then they had to get out of there because they had some problems in Egypt. And so they went back to this city. Well, guess what was at this city? Another altar. And so Abram sat here with this altar. He had his whole family with him. His wife, his father-in-law, another cousin. This guy named Lot was there. But because Abram and Lot had so many animals and servants. They had this many animals and servants, but they had this much land. And so there was a problem. They had to decide, oh no, who's going to stay and who's going to go? Well, Abram, being a good guy, he said, you know what? You pick first. And raise your hand if you have a brother or sister. You can raise your hand out there, adults. It's okay. You can act like you're a part of this too, because you are. If you have a brother or sister, isn't it the case that you always let your brother or sister pick first? Oh, is that? That's not how that goes. Oh, maybe in your friend group. That's right. Who has friends? I have a friend. You have good friends. Oh, and with your friends, you always let your friend pick first, don't you? Oh. Well, with Abram and Lot, Abram said this, Lot, I will let you pick first. He said, if you go left, I'll go right. If you go east, I'll go west. If you go north, I'll go. He let his friend pick first. What a good guy. Maybe we should do that sometimes. So Abram picked his land, which was called the Jordan Valley. And then, or Lot picked his land, which was called the Jordan Valley. And so Abram went the other way to the land, which we'll eventually know as Canaan. Hold on one second. I remember the land of Canaan. Wasn't that from Pew Packers? Before the flood, the scattering of the peoples, the four patriarchs, the exodus from Egypt, the wilderness wanderings, and the conquest of where? Canaan. The promised land of Canaan. And so Abram eventually went into that place, and he came into that land. He was on his way to that land. He was trying to get there, but there was a problem. Before he could get to the land, and before he could have all the blessings, remember, God needed him to wait patiently, there was a big problem. One of the main promises that God made to Abram was this, I will make you a great nation, which means many, many people will come from your family tree. You'll have a huge family. Guess how many kids Abraham had? How many? At this point, how? Zero. He had no kids. But didn't God say, I will give you many children? But he had no kids. He was 70 adults. He was 75 years old when God made the promise. And at this point, it was 11 years later. He was 86 years old. But guess how many kids he had had in 11 years? Zero. Sometimes God makes a promise, but his people need to be patient and wait for it. But sometimes we grow impatient, don't we? We want it, every kid's favorite word, now. But our word tonight is patient. Be patient for the promise of God. And so he said, God, give me a child now. He said, hold on, Abram, don't worry. Don't you be anxious about it. I'll give you what I've promised. But, all right, here we go. Animals. I need you to think of a cow. Has anybody seen a cow before? Oh, yeah. A goat. Anybody seen a goat before? A ram. I've seen videos of rams. A turtle dove. You've seen a dove at some point. A pigeon. It's another bird. All five animals. Here's what God did. To make sure Abram knew the promise was going to take place. He said, Abram, get the animals. Now, in the Bible, in Genesis 15, it's the real story. But this is KFC night, and I'm not going to tell you what actually happened. But if you can imagine, Abram had to take the animals, and he had to end their life, put one half on that side, one half on that side, one half on that side, that side, that side, that side, and then the two birds. So here's what I want you to imagine. There are animals here, 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 and here. And the Bible says that Abram fell asleep, or it got dark, and he was down here, and then he imagined a flaming torch. But what was on the two sides here? Oh, the animals, that's right. That flaming torch was floating between the animals. And Abram saw it all happen. And what that torch represented was God was making a promise and a commitment to Abram that I will keep my promise. And it wasn't just God saying he'll keep his promise. Abraham, when he got there, when he met God in that moment between the pathway of those animals, Abram was saying, I will keep my promise too. Because God said, if you will do these things, I will give you these things. And so Abraham and God, they met there on that pathway, in between the pathway of animals, and they made a promise together. A covenant promise together. So when they passed through those animals and they met and they made the promise, he had to have great patience because guess what? It still wasn't done waiting. He still wasn't done waiting. He got the promise at 75. He had the animal interaction around the age, I don't know exactly, but let's say in his mid-80s. But then he had to wait another 13 years. So from the beginning until the end, Abram had to wait 24 years to see God's promise come true. But can we trust God to keep a promise? Say amen. Amen. All right. I need your help. Here's what you're going to do for me. We need to figure out what is a big promise and what is a little promise. I'm going to give you a situation. And if you think, that's a big promise, I better keep it, you go like this. All right? But if it's just a little promise, just a little tiny little promise, go like this. Will you do it with me? I'll help you out. Let's do it. Okay. Example situation number one. Joe promised his mom that he would walk the dog. Big promise or just a little promise? You thinking little promise? I'm thinking little promise. That's little. Would you agree? Shake your head. I think so. Little promise. All right, how about this one? Harriet promised her dad that she would do all her homework before watching TV. Big important promise or just a little important, little promise? You're thinking little. Some might be thinking big, depending on who your parents are, probably. In the big picture of life, here's what I'm thinking. Do my homework. Okay. Little promise. Or big promise. Let's go with big promise. Everybody should do their homework. Big promise. Okay. Jesus. Let's have some perspective. Jesus promised that he would always be with us. Big promise or little promise? I think that's a big promise. I think you're right. David promised that he would faithfully fight the giant. Big promise or little promise? I'm thinking big promise. That's good. Barry promised to help his little sister with her homework. Homework's all of a sudden gotten real small, hasn't it? Sorry, parents. Frank promised his dad that he would sweep the driveway. Bunch of leaves. That's good. We're thinking medium. Medium promise? Okay. Interesting. Big promise, little promise. Which promise does God care about? The big ones or the little ones? Could it be that God cares about both? What if with God, it's not big promise and little promise? What if with God, everything is just a promise? Isn't it the case in the New Testament, adults, that Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 37, let your yes be yes and your no be no? You see, I think it's the case that with God, when he makes a promise and when he hears other people make a promise, look at me, it's not big or little, it's just this. You made a promise. And when we make a promise, what must we do? Keep the promise. Question, when God makes a promise, does he keep his promises? Every single time. So could Abraham trust that God was going to keep his promise? Yes, he could. But did Abraham have to wait? Oh. So sometimes we know that God will bless us. He promises to be with us, to never leave us, to provide for us. But sometimes we want it now. When God says, trust me, I promised you. And I always come through on my promise. When God makes a promise, he keeps it every single time. What did God promise? Who did God promise to in this story tonight? And what person? It was Abraham. Very good. Eventually, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means the father of many, 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 many people. the father of many nations. From Abram to Abraham. Because when God gives us a promise, He always keeps it. The thing about God is, He wants us to be promise keepers as well. And so for those of us who have made a commitment, not just a commitment, but a covenant promise to Him, He intends on us to keep that promise as well. Kids, here's what I want you to remember. God promised to Abraham, didn't He? And will God carry out His promises? Yes. But does that mean we get it now? Do you remember how many years that Abram had to wait? 24 years. Don't you think we should be patient too? And can we always trust in God? Amen. Now, can you continue being patient with me? Because I need to take a step back. And I'm going to bring this to a close. But before that, I need to make a couple more statements to everybody in the room tonight. This was a simple story that sometimes is a hard reality to live out. You see, in our lives, we want it now. But strength will come to those who wait upon the Lord. Strength will come to those who trust in the Lord. Because when was the last time that the Lord didn't keep His promise, church? Never. When God makes a promise, that promise will be kept. A promise through covenant is something that God does not take lightly, neither should we. And what's interesting about God's promise with Abraham is that He said, Abraham, I need you to be pure. I need you to be obedient. I need you to follow my instructions. And Abraham said, yes, yes, yes. And when I do these things, God, I know that you will do what you've promised to me. And so God has basically made the same promise to us. He needs us to be pure, free from sin. We can't do it on our own. Jesus helps us there. I need you to be obedient to what I've said. We've got to say yes and obey the teachings that Jesus has given to us. He'll help us there. Eventually, just like with Abraham and his people and his nation, the promised land came true because God always comes through. We live and patiently, eagerly await the coming of our Lord Jesus, the Christ. What does God want from us? Patiently obedient. Living a righteous life, much like Abraham did, trusting in God that He will be there. Nick, before the Lord's Supper, read in Matthew chapter 26, and that is exactly where I want to conclude tonight. In that statement, Jesus was making a statement about the Lord's Supper, specifically about communion. There in Matthew 26, verse 28, after He broke the bread, in verse 27, He gave them a cup. He gave thanks and He said, drink it. Why? Verse 28, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. What I love about that is on the cross, Jesus showed covenant promise and covenant sacrifice. My blood as a sacrifice to fulfill my Father's promise. And so if we are going to be covenant-keeping people, what does it require of us to be just like Jesus? To have a covenant sacrifice, therefore I sacrifice myself daily, a living sacrifice. A covenant sacrifice to fulfill God's covenant promise. God will keep His promise. Will we live out that promise? That covenant sacrificing life. I don't know what it was like for Abraham to wait. How many years? 24. What about us? I know you might be impatient at times. You might be tonight on edge or weary in faith. But as AJ talked about so wonderfully, I hope as we see children, we don't just see the little rustling in the words, maybe some things that they did which are funny and moving pews and all these different things. What I hope we see is pure trust and love. And I hope that stands as an example for us and how we ought to live obediently before the Lord our God, pure trust and love. And if you haven't been doing that, I hope you see this and use this as a moment to make a change. We're going to offer an invitation. Because anybody who needs help walking faithfully before the Lord our God, that's why we exist tonight. We want to encourage you in our faith, considering how to stir one another up to love and good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. But we also know this, that to make a covenant commitment, you have to be sealed in the covenant blood. You meet that blood in the baptism of a belief that Jesus is the Son of God. And when you're buried there, God saves you there. He forgives you of your sins there, Acts 2:38. And so if you haven't been immersed, you aren't in the covenant, and therefore you don't have the promise. And so if you want the promise and the blessings that follow, will you enter into the covenant tonight? Not just a covenant that God made, but one that you can make with Him. Don't leave. Don't leave tonight until you've gotten yourself right. If we can help you do it, we'd love to do so as we stand and sing together.